You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
And today we are happy to welcome back Wendy Pisha from Napa Humane. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to be back.
It's great to have you. It's our little pet life segment of the show. Last couple of weeks we've had Kelly here from the Animal Control from Napa County. We've seen a couple of doggies, one big one and one little bitty one.
Wonderful.
And how have things been? It's been months since we've talked. How have things been at Napa Humane?
Things have been good. So at Napa Humane, we have our spay-neuter clinic, and it is oh so busy right now because it's just pre-kitten season. You were talking about the warm weather and the spring feeling that we're having. Well, that also brings about kittens, lots and lots of reproduction. And so our goal at Napa Humane, of course, is to decrease the number of unwanted puppies and kittens. So ideally, Kelly at the Napa County Animal Shelter has fewer animals in cages over there. And so our main goal is prevention. And our spay-neuter clinic, we during the last year due to COVID, we had to close for about 6 weeks due to the personal protective equipment shortage in the very beginning, because as a medical facility, we had to make sure that those supplies were available for human hospitals. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as we were given the green light, we went ahead and reopened and have been spaying and neutering puppies or dogs, cats, and kittens. Dogs, cats, and rabbits. kittens too, yeah. Ever since. And so, yes, this is unfortunately the time that we're going to start to see a lot of kittens being born and entering our shelters. Mm-hmm. But we're doing our job.
This is the time of year when kitties fall in love and enter into relationships.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Multiple relationships, multiple litters of kittens each year.
Is there any progress on that issue? I mean, we've heard about this abundance of unwanted, unplanned kittens and puppies. It's mostly more cats now, I think, right? Because stray dogs are not a thing like they used to be. So it's focused on cats, but it's been decades, you know, people trying to change that. Mm-hmm. Have we made any progress on them?
Here's the interesting thing, Barry. It's a good question, because as long as there are two unaltered cats out there, they're going to reproduce and have a litter of kittens, and then those are going to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. And so that number, the number of cats, unless all cats were kept indoors and every single cat was spayed or neutered, there's going to be continued reproduction. The difference is in, say, Napa, as an example, because our community has a Napa Humane focused on spay-neuter, our shelter has about the same number of kittens coming in every year. Because again, we're not able to spay and neuter every single cat and kitten out there. So there's continued reproduction. If there was no Napa Humane, the shelter having a couple hundred cats each year, they would have thousands of cats each year. And there would be more cats getting hit by cars, more coyote food, more, I mean, there would just be more animal suffering. So yes, we've definitely, we're kind of keeping our number consistent. But we do see in communities where they don't have access to low-cost spay-neuter that those shelters are inundated. I mean, we say our shelter's inundated and it's a couple hundred cats, but really in comparison, in Central Valley, I mean, we can look at other shelters and they get thousands and have to turn cats away or start euthanizing, you know, healthy kittens to make space for new kittens coming in. We are not at that place in Napa because we have a Napa Humane.
Yeah.
So yes and no.
Yeah. It's sort of like, I'm thinking it feels like infectious disease. You may not be able to wipe it out. You can just suppress it somewhat.
Right. And it is interesting being a nonprofit organization and, you know, requesting donations to continue our work. That's always a good question. It's like, but wait a minute, you guys have been doing this work for so many years. Mm-hmm. Why do you still need to be in existence? And again, mm-hmm. it just takes two cats to reproduce and have a litter of six, and then those cats are going to reproduce. And we have, you know, unfortunately, it would be great if every single person who had a cat or fed a cat outside ensured that that cat was spayed or neutered. But it's just, that's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of community cats out there.
Community cats. That'd be a good name for a small rock combo.
I know, right? The Yowlers.
Why isn't there some kind of a technological solution here? For example, couldn't you put something in cat food that hormonally would keep cats from reproducing?
It is interesting because there is actually, there's been studies and there is a pill form that actually works with just male cats and just at a certain age. But the problem is if you're feeding these outdoor cats, the cats that are most contributing to this problem, there's no way to ensure that you are not getting it to wildlife, to other animals. And so you're kind of messing with things a little bit.
Disrupt the raccoon life cycle.
Exactly.
And the possums would be up.
Exactly.
Underproducing.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know. So, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So the solution, of course, is to, if you are feeding cats outside, then you are responsible for those cats. You need to take responsibility for those cats. If you're feeding them, then you are making them healthy and more able to reproduce at larger litters. Because a healthy, you know, well-fed cat is going to have maybe 6 kittens instead of 2 kittens that it may have had. So you've got to take responsibility, bring them to our clinic, make sure that they are spayed or neutered, continue feeding them.
Yeah. And speaking of the community cats thing, we talked about this with Kelly the other week. We all know in neighborhoods, it doesn't take long to figure out this cat is going from house to house. It spends some time there. It eats from that house. It eats from this house, and some dogs will do that too if they get a chance. But cats seem to be particularly good about it. And they actually, you know, spend a little time. They're happy to be in this place for a while and then that place for a while. How do you know that cat that wanders around and maybe you have fed it, how do you know it doesn't belong to somebody when you scoop it up and take it to the shelter?
Exactly. And really, the idea is to not feed cats. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you don't leave food out, even if you have an outside cat, if you're leaving food out on the front porch, you're probably feeding 4 cats. Mm. Possibly. You could have a territorial cat that keeps everybody away, but you're possibly feeding more than just your cat and raccoons and whatnot as well. But if you don't leave food out, that cat's probably going to stay closer to its home.
So feed your cat in a controlled environment.
Exactly.
Indoors or someplace where other stray cats can't get to it.
Ideally, you keep your cat indoors. And for people who say, gosh, but my cat really needs to be outside, they actually have a lot of great yard kind of cat, I don't want to say caging, but there's ways around your fence if you angle like fencing so the cats can't climb over it. I mean, you can have your cat in your backyard and keep your cat confined to your yard. There's ways to do that so that you know your cat can be outside but safely not meandering the neighborhood, or it could get hit by a car, fed by 10 neighbors, be taken to the vet by multiple people. You never know.
I guess microchipping cuts down on the problem.
You know, the thing is that microchips are only checked if someone says, I found this cat.
Okay.
Or they take it to a shelter and say, hey, I found this cat, or a vet and say, I found this cat. But if you if you don't claim it as a found cat, no one's checking.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Usually this time of year, there's some conversation about bunnies.
Yes.
Do we still have the bunny problem at Easter time?
I believe that there is still a bunny problem, you know, across the country, certainly.
By which we mean people giving...
Getting bunnies for Easter.
Or chicks.
Or baby chicks, yes. And those chicks turn into roosters, and you live in city limits, and you don't have a plan for the rooster because you can't have a rooster in the city limits. Or you get this cute little bunny, and then it ends up in a cage. And yes, that still happens. So typically, a couple months after Easter is when we start to see rabbits entering shelters. Yeah, so we'll see. It's to be determined. But our messaging usually before Easter is do not get a rabbit. Impulse, get a rabbit. I mean, if you've wanted a rabbit, you've researched, know that it's a, you know, 5 to 7, up to 10-year commitment. Great, get a rabbit. But don't impulse get pets.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, trying to have a nice Instagram picture. You know, it's a short-term thing. It's like, oh, we want to have it for Easter. Well, you're going to have it for 6 or 7 Easters.
Right, exactly.
Responsible.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, very good. Wendy Pisha from Napa Humane, any final thoughts to wrap up today?
Just, I tell you one last time, spay and neuter that kitty.
Mm-hmm. There,
there
you go.
There you go.
Thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin.
On KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.